€8 plus booking fee from Eventbrite.
It's almost 7 o'clock.
And whatever you do today, don't forget to send that birthday card. Unpost for your world.
Across Ireland.
Across Ireland.
On FM.
Digital.
And on your smart speaker.
This is the home of the 80s and 90s.
This is Ireland's Classic Hits Radio.
At 7, good morning, I'm Tina Gates. A teenage boy remains in a serious condition in hospital this morning after two teenagers were killed in a crash between a tractor and a car in County Mayo on Friday night. The driver of the tractor, a man in his 50s, received non-life-threatening injuries. Local councillor Alma Gallagher says it's terrible to see such a tragic loss of life.
We woke yesterday morning to the tragic news that two young lives have been lost on our roads in Laverarow. Two young men who were so well known and much loved in our community, with such bright futures ahead of them, and to have their lives cut short in such tragic circumstances is absolutely devastating.
The RSA is warning drivers to take extreme care on the roads today and tomorrow as Met Eireann issues orange and yellow weather warnings for wind and rain. The orange alerts for Cork and Waterford from 8 a.m. this morning. The yellow warning for Munster is currently in effect until 8 o'clock tonight. Carlow, Dublin, Kildare, Kilkenny, Laois, Wexford and Wicklow have a yellow rain warning from noon today until 2 a.m. tomorrow. David Martin from the RSA says it's very important to slow down.
Check local traffic and weather conditions before they head out on a journey. With the localised flooding, if the road ahead is flooded, just choose another route. Don't attempt to drive through it. Throw the roads off. They may appear shallow, but they could be a lot deeper than you think. Slow down. Allow a greater braking distance between yourselves and the vehicle in front. Especially important on dual carriageways.
Sinn Féin's promising to deliver the largest housing programme in the history of the state. If in power, party leader Mary Lou MacDonald says they would build 300,000 homes, 50,000 of them affordable homes at prices from €250,000. Addressing last night's Ard Fhéidh Síne at Lone, she made a dig at the government over homelessness, the cost of housing and the bike shed controversy.
A record number of people homeless. 4,419 of those are children. Shameful. Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael don't get that €500,000 for a home just isn't affordable. But let's face it, folks, when they're building a bicycle shed for €300,000, they're hardly building affordable homes.
Israel's Prime Minister says the killing of the leader of Lebanese militant group Hezbollah in an airstrike in Beirut was a necessary step towards changing the balance of power in the Middle East. Iran says Israel will regret the death of Hassan Nasrallah. Speaking through an interpreter, Benjamin Netanyahu said the Hezbollah leader was a legitimate threat.
He was the main engine of Iran's axis of evil. Him and his people were the architects of the plan to destroy and destruct Israel. He wasn't only operating by Iran. In many cases, he operated Iran.
Constantinos Sakakos of Médecins Sans Frontières says the situation in South Beirut is now chaotic.
Currently, as we speak, since September 26, more than 200,000 people have already been displaced across the country. Several shelters have been opened up by the government to receive those people, but you can imagine that the needs of the people are dire. They are huge needs in terms of water and non-food items such as mattresses, blankets and hygiene kits.
Gardaí have struck gold in Dublin. There's been a whopping €1.4 million gold bullion seizure along with drugs and cash. Cliona O'Dwyer reports.
The gold bullion was recovered during searches in the capital when €460,000 in cash and €210,000 worth of cocaine were seized. The discovery was made when homes and businesses were searched on Friday and yesterday. The gold bullion, which has been found by the Dublin Crime Response Team, is worth a massive €1.4 million, while the drugs will be sent for further analysis. A man in his 50s who was arrested remains in custody this morning at a Dublin Garda station where he can be questioned for up to 24 hours.
And that's your latest news update at 4 minutes past seven.
Did you see Johnny there? He looked as happy as...
As a pig in...
No, as happy as...
As Larry when he gets the...
Happier!
As happy as a Windsor Motors customer?
Nearly new cars at some of Ireland's lowest prices. Be as happy as a Windsor Motors customer with a visit to your local Windsor showroom. Windsor. Drive happy.
Log, it is... I was going to say it's Monday night. I'm losing track of days. It's Tuesday night. Yes, which will ride you to midnight tonight. By the way, I was watching this video on the Irish Independent of Michael D. Higgins. I'm sure you're all following the story of Michael D. Higgins over the last 24 hours. And this famous letter of congratulations to the Iranian president on being elected. Now, firstly, the letter, I think, is problematic in itself. But that's a whole other argument, right? Because obviously he's speaking for the Irish people, and he also, you know, can pass his condolence on to the previous president, Riaza. Who, let's be clear about it, there's an arrest warrant. There was an arrest warrant out for him. I know he's dead, but there was an arrest warrant out for him, you know, on violations of human rights and all sorts of things. He refers to homosexuality as savagery and all this kind of thing. So I don't think most Irish people would be too upset that he was killed. Anyway, here's the thing. He kind of insinuated that the letter was leaked by the Israeli embassy. Now, he's now suggesting the media got it wrong. Now, I watched the video yesterday. The media didn't get it wrong. That's more or less what he said. He didn't use the word leaked, I don't think. But he said that's where it came from. Turns out that's not where it came from. It was the Iranian embassy actually put it up online. And the Israeli embassy probably just circulated it like loads of other people did too. It's available. You can go onto Twitter and see the letter. It's not a big deal, right? But then they asked him again today and he just wouldn't answer the questions. It was quite a funny little thing. He was the United Nations. And the journalists from RTE or whoever they were from were saying to him, we need to get to the bottom of this. And he goes, I don't want to talk. Let's talk about the United Nations. And they said, well, actually, no, we want to get the answer to this question. We decided the questions are, not you. It's a press conference. And I went, I've nothing more to say on the matter. And he got all flummoxed and frustrated. And it's a very serious issue. Because he made a very serious allegation against the Israeli embassy. Well, so they're suggesting. And now the media are saying to him, are you blaming us now for this? You know, that we kind of sensationalised the story. And he's like, well, no, I'm not saying that, but I didn't actually use the word leaked. And it's all very bizarre. It's like you're living in a different reality. I mean, it's quite weird. I mean, look, 14 years is certainly enough for the man. Like, there's a presidential election next year, and I know he had suggested, I think, at some point that there should be allowed to 3 terms. Not a chance. Let's be clear about Michael D. Higgins. I'd like to get your thoughts on Michael D. Higgins, by the way. 087-188-0008. Do you think he's been a good... Look, he hasn't been a bad president, right? You can't say, honestly, he's been a bad president. As presidents go, because presidents in Ireland don't do very much. But he's been pretty useless. Do you know what I mean? I mean, he hasn't... Like, what is he actually... Will he be remembered? What has he actually really done? I mean, do you think he's been a good president? Maybe you think he's been a good president? I don't know. I mean, I think maybe we should have a referendum to change the role of the president in Ireland, to give them a little bit more power. At the moment, they have very little power at all, actually. So maybe we should change the role. That would have to go to referendum. But then we'd have to be very careful who we pick as the president, obviously. But do you think Michael D. Higgins has been a good president of Ireland? He's just there, isn't he? I mean, he was a great talker at one stage. I don't think he's as good as he used to be, because obviously he's a little bit older now. We all slow down as we get older, don't we? But let me know, 087-188-0008. Hold on, just turn on your text here so I can see what you're saying to me. Hang on. So, WhatsApp in there. Let me know, has he been a good president, right? Now, a little bit later on, by the way, we're going to be talking about the two-tier health system that we have in this country with the amount of people on trolleys, on waiting lists. There has been a suggestion that, you know, get rid of the two-tier system of private and public, you know, and the state should take over the private hospitals, buy them out. After all, we're into buying buildings lately, aren't we? And do away with private health insurance. I don't believe money should ever buy your health, by the way. Unfortunately, it does. People say it doesn't. Of course it does. If you have private health insurance, you're going to get seen before anybody else for those kind of doomsday operations like bypasses or whatever. So, you know, money does buy your health. Also, I want to talk about the, you know, the primetime special that was on last Wednesday. We wanted to give it a bit of airtime. Mentioned it briefly last night, and to me, any amateur filmmaker could have made that. Went out and found 20 of the worst people they could possibly find, racists, violent criminals, and made a documentary and said this is representative of the right wing, or this is representative of people who are unhappy with immigration, which is not the truth, really. They're not representative. They're just violent, or they're just thugs, or they're just racists. I mean, they're not representative. I'm not talking about everybody on the show, but I'm talking about many of the hand-picked people that they picked. Any, you know, amateur filmmaker could have done that. And I kind of knew that's what was going to happen. Also, I'll be talking to Lauren White a little bit later on. Lauren has gone to her own problems in life, and now she gives talks, talking to other people about addiction. She's a recovered alcoholic and addict who is using her suffering and journey to help others get through their issues. But the first thing I want to talk about is, now, we heard the news yesterday that the Minister for Justice, Hannah McEntee, has claimed that the plan for the new hate speech laws are being scrapped. Number one, I don't believe her. I believe this is coming up to an election, and I think it's easy to say that. Take them off the table for now because they're deeply unpopular, and let's bring them back once we get re-elected and then there's nothing they can do about it. However, she said that she will still press ahead with the hate crime part of the legislation. This legislation would provide tougher sentencing where hate is a motivating factor in a crime. Hatred Act 1998 currently states that it's an offence to communicate threatening, abusive and insulting material that is intended or likely to stir up hatred against a group of people because of their race, colour, nationality, religion, ethnic or national origins, membership of a travelling community or sexual orientation. Now, it's no secret that Ms McEntee's proposal for the new legislation is deeply unpopular amongst most people, and it's been very vague with its definition of the word hate. But here's the thing. In relation to the aspect she wants to keep, which is the hate crime aspect to it, if you beat somebody up in the middle of a street, you should serve prison time. Personally speaking, I believe, obviously. And no matter what reason you beat them up for. And I want to give you an example. Currently at the moment, if I'm walking down the road, and this is just an example, and I see two blokes, and for whatever reason, I just don't like the look of one of them, and I attack them, and I break his arm, smash his face in. Let's say I'm brought to court, I'm found guilty of assault, a random attack in the middle of the street, I get 5 years in jail, let's just say. I think that's the maximum sentence, 5 years. Second scenario. I'm walking down the street and I see two lads and they're holding hands. And for whatever reason, I clearly think they're gay. And I start shouting obscenities at them, calling them faggots or whatever it is, whatever names people currently use as derogatory names. And for that reason, I beat them up because I don't like gay people. And I beat one of them up and I break his arm and smash his face in. According to the minister, I should get 7 years maybe. Because it's considered to be a crime of hate. The motivation was hate, a hatred for a community. Or if they were black, or if they were Romanian, or whatever it happened to be, whatever ethnic status they happen to be, or maybe even women, and I don't like women. So, but should that be the case? Because if I'm the non-gay person who got beaten up in the first scenario, I feel a bit hard done by now. I'm discriminated against. If I'd have been gay and he called me names, the perpetrator would have got an extra couple of years. So is that fair? Or should we just leave it the way it is? Do you believe that a motivating factor should make a difference in the sentencing? Let me know what you think. The number is 087-188-0008. My question is it fair for hate crimes to get longer sentences than any other assault, for example, or any other crime, for that matter, even if it's murder? Let me know what you think. The number is 087-188-0008. Let me go to Luke first. I'll come to Stephen after that. Luke, hi, how are you?
Good evening, Neil. How's things?
Good. Luke, do you believe that a hate crime or a crime motivated by hatred of a community should get you longer in jail?
Absolutely not, because no matter what kind of crime is committed and to whom it's committed against, like, there's always going to be a contributing factor in the offender's mentality. And just because of their race or their sexual orientation or religion is there, does not necessarily make it any worse or better than any other kind of crime. Like, it's basically putting some people on a pedestal in the eyes of the law, because if I attack a straight white man, nobody's going to bat an eyelid, whereas if I attack a gay man or a Muslim, then it's going to be all over the news. And that really just takes away the everybody's equal part of the justice system, and I just think it's deeply unfair.
But here's the thing, right? I suppose the reason the minister's saying this and the reason countries will have this type of legislation is to discourage people for committing crimes against people based on the colour of their skin, their sexual orientation or their ethnicity. In other words, that it will reduce the amount of possibilities of people being attacked because of what they are, who they are and what they represent. Isn't that the purpose of it then? Okay, you're still going to get random assaults, obviously.
Like, I do understand part of why they're doing it. Like, it does make sense that they want to protect certain individuals who might like suffer the consequences of hatred in that
sense. I mean, you remember, I don't know whether it's still a thing, but you remember back in the kind of 80s, particularly in and around Dublin City, you know, queer bashing was a thing. I don't think it's a thing, and I hope it's not a thing anymore. But that was a thing, queer bashing.
No, like, I am aware of it. No, it's before my time, but I am aware of those things happening. And like talking about like things in the past, like 100 years ago or 200 years ago, women weren't allowed to vote. And like as a society, we've progressed. But that, like, you know, like people have gained their equal rights as they should. But I just don't think that people should be sentenced differently based on what people perceive there to be the agitating factor in such assaults or crimes.
By the way, on a side note, do you believe the minister said she's dropped the hate speech laws, or they're going to be scrapped?
I believe her. Like, there's an election coming up in a month or two. They're going, like, whoever's in power now is going to say whatever they have to do to sweeten people up. Those hate speech laws were highly controversial, and not a lot of people who are aware of them were happy about them. And they're just trying to rack up as many votes as they can now before the budget and afterwards for the election. I just think it's a kind of swindling the people again into voting into their arms.
Okay, and as soon as they get back into power, you reckon those hate speech laws will be drawn back up again, back on the table?
Slowly but surely. But I just reckon those laws should be scrapped because it's just so hard to define.
Well, of course, it's an infringement on free speech. It's an infringement on free speech, you know what I mean?
And it does put people on, certain people on a pedestal. Like, it makes them feel more untouchable than the ordinary Joe Soap, for example. Just because someone is of a certain religion or sexual orientation, that's not necessarily a reason for them being assaulted, but they could use that as a reason to get the offender a higher sentence just because they can.
Okay, well, stay there for a second. Let me go to Stephen as well. Stephen, hi, how are you?
Good evening.
Stephen, the minister said she wants to keep this aspect of the law. She's obviously said she's dropped the hate speech laws. Even you yourself, by the way, said you probably didn't agree with them at one time when we talked about it. So let's just see if she keeps her promise and doesn't bring them back after they get re-elected again. But in the hate crime aspect of the law, do you really believe it's fair that somebody would get a different or a harsher sentence based on the motivation for the crime?
Firstly, you're predicting a good possibility that they'll get re-elected. Now, to be fair, the polls will probably bear that out a little bit at the moment anyway, but we'll see what happens on the day. As regards to the hate speech bill, I do believe they'll have dropped it. If Fine Gael get back in, I don't think they'll go near it for another couple of years at least, because it is too contentious. And the 89 Act is still there, so they'll probably try and bring a bill to amend and update the 89 Act, which is basically the same thing as the new Act with additions to include online media and so on. But anyhow, in terms of the hate crime bill, did you say there was a bill in 98?
That was the last bill that we had in relation to hatred was 1998. But that was just as an offence to communicate threatening, abuse, or insulting material that is intended or likely to stir up hate. That's a separate aspect of it. I just happened to mention that. So, in other words, crime that's motivated by hate will carry a tougher sentence. In other words, and I gave the example of two people being beaten up, one because they're gay, one isn't gay. The one that's gay and they call them names, they get an extra couple of years onto their sentence. So I'm assuming what will happen is there'll be a maximum sentence for assault, but assault motivated by hate will add another sentence onto it.
Well, if I remember most of the wording in the bill, it's up to 5 years additional to the sentence is available to the judge to add at their discretion.
If they believe it's motivated by hate.
Yeah. Now, sentencing is always arbitrary. There isn't a set minimum amount of years for X, Y, and Z in most cases, unless it's something like murder and so on. But even then, there's no big criteria that says it must be 15 years or 20 years or 5 years or whatever it is, unless I'm completely wrong. But sentencing is always fairly arbitrary based on what the judge feels at the time, based on the severity of the sentence and the evidence. Now, Dave was talking about putting people protected under the Equality Act above on a pedestal. I don't agree that that's what's happening, but I certainly agree that that's how it can be seen. But the reasoning for that is there has never been a law that criminalised a straight white cisgender man for being a straight white cisgender man. That's all. There has been laws that justify attacking and raping women, ethnic minorities, members of the Catholic community, people from different religions, etc., etc., etc. You know, that is why.
Well, no, the equality. But the Equality Act was never used in relation to crimes. The Equality Act was only ever there in relation to discrimination. To be used in that sense. This will be the first time that we would actually put people behind bars, you know, if a crime is motivated by hate. Now, don't get me wrong, they're going behind bars anyway. No, they're going behind bars anyway for assault, but this will be the first time we'll add a sentence on. Like, and I give you the example again, you know, you're walking down the street and I'm walking down the street, Stephen, and some guy is walking towards us with a view to beating one of us up, right? And he beats you up because for whatever reason he's heard that you're gay, right? And as he's beating you up, he says, I'm beating you up because you're gay. Now, he didn't beat me up. If he had to beat me up, he would have got 5 years, let's say. But because he beats you up and he does it because you're gay, he's getting an extra 2 or 3 years on the sentence. Is that fair?
If the prosecution can prove that it was motivated by hate, then it is, as I said, up to the discretion of the judge. Is it fair? Arguably not.
Getting better treatment than me. Then it means that your life is worth more than mine.
Depending on the severity of you getting beaten up.
Hypothetically, we're both beaten up the same way. What I'm saying is, what the courts and what the justice system is saying, and that woman who stands up on top of the building with a blindfold on her, because justice is meant to be blind, is justice not blind after all. Your life and your protection is worth more than mine.
Now, the best of nighttime talk. Please don't text or call, as you will be charged.
Ireland's Classic Hits Radio. Damien Farrelly in the afternoon.
Why don't you join me here on Ireland's Classic Hits Radio as we fire up the flux capacitor and guess the year with Back to the Future. And an eye on all your news, sport, traffic and entertainment too. Plus a chance to win all that cash if you can tell me what Lucy Kennedy said to Colm Hayes. Monday to Friday from 2.
With Tesco Club Card. Feel the power to more.
Ireland's Classic Hits Radio.
From Limerick to London, Newbridge to New York, or Stonybatter to Sydney, wherever you are and whenever you're jetting off, get global travel money at your local post office. Make your money matter more with 0% commission on cash and card. Search Unpost Travel Money or visit your local post office today. T's and C's apply. Unpost Money Currency Card is issued by PPS EUSA pursuant to license by MasterCard International. PPS EUSA is authorised by the National Bank of Belgium and is regulated by the Central Bank of Ireland for conduct of business rules. Unpost is authorised by the Minister for Finance to provide foreign currency cash.
Oh, it's that time of year when all your thoughts turn to Aldi. Offers like tasty, specially selected fish cakes was $2.99, now $2.49. Perfect with sautéed potatoes, they ooze flavour and value. Oh, and feast your ears on that. Bord Bia 100% Irish slow-cooked barbecue pork fillet was $4.99, now $4.29. Mwah! Chef's kiss. Go on, make every day delicious with Super 6 offers on quality meat and fish. Go all Aldi.
Jennifer Haskins here from Two's Company. I'm often asked, what kind of people join a dating agency? Well, people exactly like you. In life, we invest in material things and we don't always put ourselves first. And we all know how important a good relationship is. So when you're ready to make that move, we're here to find that someone special for you. Trust the professionals. See twoscompany.ie today. And remember, you're in good company with Two's Company.
For over a decade, River Medical has been consistently offering clients the very best in a wide range of surgical and non-surgical cosmetic procedures. That's why we have thousands of satisfied clients who return again and again. All of our patients receive treatments only from our qualified nurses and surgeons. Why not book a consultation with one of our medical experts at our clinics in Dublin or Belfast? For the best service and aftercare, call River Medical on 01662 9106 or visit rivermedical.ie. River Medical. Confidence in cosmetic care.
Looking to enroll on courses this year?
Search the largest courses database in Ireland on nightcourses.com and courses.ie. Find your course.
Luke, go ahead. You want to say something to Stephen? Go ahead, Luke.
Just going back to Stephen's point there a second ago when he was referring to pre-Equality Act claims when gay people and whatever were criminalised against. And now he fought for equality, the gays fought for equality, whatever, they have equality. Are you suggesting now that the government has to overcompensate laws to protect them further than everyone else? Like, just every other normal person, or not normal, sorry, that's the wrong way of putting it, but just people in general. Are you suggesting that people have said...
Well, no, anybody not covered under the Equality Act, I suppose, yeah. Okay.
Do you know what I mean? Like, are you saying that people who are gay and stuff now have to be overcompensated for past indiscretions?
Nope, like, didn't say that.
No.
And unlike the pair of you, I am old enough to remember gay bashing, and I have experienced gay bashing in my lifetime. I am old enough to know my history of Declan Flynn, who murderers were let because they were fine, upstanding gentlemen.
Mm-hmm. You know? No, I do remember that.
I know my history.
And by the way, that's a very dark part of Ireland's history that we shouldn't forget, by the way, Stephen. I'm not suggesting for a minute we do forget that kind of part of our history.
It's also not too deep in our history either. Mm-hmm. There are queer men and, you know, Muslims and people like that getting attacked on our streets day in and day out. Just not all of it makes the headlines.
Yeah, you know, no, I get you.
There are people... So where an offence is motivated by hate, this is why they say that the government are saying that there should be an additional sentence at the discretion of the judge under the burden of proof of the prosecution. Unless I have it on video that they are attacking me and saying it is because I am gay, chances are that doesn't get added to their sentence. Unless I have undeniable proof.
Well, I don't necessarily believe it would be like that. You know, if there's a witness with you, for example, and they said, well, before the man did it, he starts shouting queers or whatever, or if it's a black person, whatever, he starts shouting obscene, vulgar names, you know, and then he beat us up. Well, then clearly it's motivated by hate, isn't it?
Yeah, but I still need undeniable proof to make it stick. You know, so what could be said by a witness could be classed as hearsay.
Can I just make a point, actually?
Go ahead.
Go ahead, yeah.
I'm going to get Stephen a job in the courts. Go on, Luke. He's been watching Judge Judy again.
It just sounds very convenient at the moment that they want to keep said particular thing because due to the current government's agenda where they're bringing in all sorts of immigration, it's causing a lot of civil unrest and public... People in general are just not happy about it. And it's almost as if they're trying to protect their stance on immigration and not listening to people's concerns. I feel like there's a bit of that at play here too, where they're kind of trying to deter people from voicing their concerns and even acting on their concerns. Now, I'm not saying or advocating anyone should be assaulted in Ireland, but I'm just saying that is it a case that the government is trying to stop people from trying to protect what they believe their right to look after their own country, if that makes sense.
It makes perfect sense, and I'm not wholly disagreeing with you. But at the same point, you know, under the 89 Hate Speech Act, they have had 300 attempts of 300 reports, 50 court cases, and 5 convictions in 30 years. They're not doing a very good job of it.
Mind you, Stephen, that will tell you one of two things. The Garda Síochána are not doing a good job arresting and prosecuting people, or... we don't have a huge problem. That's the second thing. Mind you, watching the RT documentary the other night, we do have a little bit of a problem with the way people speak. But mind you, even the worst part of that documentary, that one woman walking around and the absolutely vile language that she used, right? I don't believe that should be illegal. I do believe she has her own conscience to deal with when it comes to the ability and hatred with inside her. But I believe that's for her to deal with. You know what I mean? Now, and don't get me wrong, the fellas walking around with the sticks and throw Molotov cocktails, they're criminal activity. That should be dealt with by the law. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and if her words or her actions get her in trouble, then she faces the responsibility of that the same way as you or I would as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if her words or actions incite other people to commit crimes, then she is equally responsible.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. That is how it works. that's what incitement means.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, but it would depend on what she says, by the way, in relation to that. But either way, her language was just vile. Well, stay there, Luke and Stephen. Let me go to Michael. Michael, how you doing?
Hi, Niall. How's it going?
Michael, live from New York, I believe. Yes, Michael, how are you keeping? It's been a little while.
Yeah, everything's good. How about yourself?
Good. Michael, I mean, should people get extra time in jail based on the motivation for their crime?
I really do think so. And the only reason why I say it, I hate to bring up the C word, COVID, but back when COVID was a big thing over here, people were going out of their way, and a lot of Asian people get it, just hit on the street, just random attacks. So that's why I do think that, you know, if people are going out of their way, either, you know, go after a Chinese person, a gay person, a Jewish person, a Muslim, they have a motive. So I think it demotivates them if they know there's going to be a bigger consequence.
Okay, that was the point I made to Luke, that maybe, you know, in some way it goes towards demotivating people to commit crimes based solely on hate. I'm sorry, Michael, your line is a little bit low. I think you're on a speakerphone in a car by some stretch of the imagination, maybe.
Yeah, I'm driving, unfortunately.
That's okay. That's okay. But
hypothetical there, actually, if it's all right.
Yeah, go ahead, Michael. Or Luke.
So, hypothetically speaking, if a black person assaulted a white person because they hated white people, would that black person be prosecuted under the hate laws as well?
I would like to think so.
Absolutely.
They would be. Like,
should,
Of course they would be. Why wouldn't they be? If it's deemed a contributing factor and it can be proven, then they would be tried under the hate speech law as well.
So the hate speech laws, by the way, is in relation to race, colour, which that brings in colour, nationality, religion, ethnic or national origins. So that would come under it, I imagine, Luke. So, I mean, if a black person beat up a white person or a Muslim beat up a Catholic, for example, the other way around, obviously, it would be the same thing. If it's motivated by hate because of what the person is or isn't, well, I suppose it would be the same.
Yeah, fair enough.
So, I'm glad we cleared that one up. But Michael, the only problem I have with it is, you know, if I'm a Muslim or if I'm gay or if I'm black or if I'm an ethnic minority and I get beaten up, you know, I get kind of special treatment. But whereas if I'm not any of those things and I get beaten up just for no reason, well, then all of a sudden my life is just not worth as much. And that's my problem with it.
Yeah, I definitely see the point, but if me and you are both walking down the street and you happen to be a Chinese Muslim with a rainbow flag,
a Chinese Muslim with a rainbow flag, okay.
So if they purposely go after you because you've just ticked all the boxes and they don't touch me, then fine. But if they hit me or, you know, punch me, stab you, whatever, over you, and that's just a random attack, that's just why I kind of think that, you know, the motive behind it, if there's no real motive and they just are a little bit mentally ill, then it's kind of, well, it is what it is, you know. But if there's a motive behind it, then I definitely think it's
okay. I'm sorry. I'd love to hear you more, Michael. And I'm sorry. I know you're on your way home from work in New York City at the moment, and obviously that's why your line is a little bit low. But I get the point that you're making.
If I could just pick up on Michael's point.
Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
The word Michael used is purposeful. Is motive. Like if there is a reason and that they went out of their way to do this, to target somebody, whether they're white, black, gay, straight, Muslim, Chinese, whatever, or any combination thereof, then, you know, the court will already take that into account, regardless of whether we use the 98 Hate Crime Act or the 89 Hate Speech Act or whatever new versions of it we create. You know, the court will already take those into effect. It just gives the court options to impose a slightly harsher sentence if the judge deems it appropriate, which we already do for so many godforsaken cases in the first place. If I'm recklessly driving, which is my kind of go-to, we pass laws to manage everything. You know, I can't drive down the local road in my area at 150 kilometers an hour because that's dangerous. You know, I also can't do it on the motorway.
Yeah, but we don't break those laws into categories based on the colour of your skin or your religion. It doesn't matter who you are driving at 100 miles an hour.
But these laws are built, the laws are built to recognise the intrinsic biases that we all have, whether we know them or not.
I don't think any law. Give me another law. Name me one other law that's built around bias. I don't think so. I don't think we have any laws that are built around a thought, which is what it is.
Well, I don't know if it's the best example, but maybe the Itinerant Act, I don't remember what year it was, but basically, you know, a law that said that we could stop people from the travelling community going into places or living places or things like that, you know.
That was based on belief and
feelings about a group of people.
Well, no, it was Mary Robinson brought that in because we had a huge problem with people for the members of the travelling community who are stopping on public land, you know, and calling it their own, essentially.
There was a societal moral panic, and the politicians reacted accordingly.
Yeah.
The same way as the laws that criminalised homosexuality. There was a moral-led panic, and we passed a law to react to it.
Yeah, but that wasn't just about homosexuality. The laws, and correct me if I'm wrong here, but you probably know more than I do in relation to it. The original law was in relation to buggery, wasn't it?
Yes, but also anything associated with the promotion of homosexual lifestyles. There was a basic carbon copy of the Section 28 law under Thatcher.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
I was just saying, by the way, it was quite ironic. I mentioned at the start of the show there, the President Higgins sent a letter over to the new Iranian president. The previous Iranian president referred to homosexuality as savagery. And yet, our president, on your behalf, by the way, Stephen, sent a letter giving his condolences on his passing. There you go.
On everyone's behalf. But yes, and this was done in May and reported on in... Sorry, the crash was May and the letter was July. And it's only because of the current Israeli conflict that it's getting such a storm in a teacup.
Yeah. But is he speaking on your behalf, by the way?
Our behalf.
I'm only asking.
But yes.
Was he?
You know, but like, I read the letter and it's just your standard condolences.
No.
Best of luck.
I know, but I wouldn't be wishing condolences to a man who's guilty of human rights crimes.
I'm sure plenty of other people... I personally wouldn't, but I'm sure plenty of other politicians issued a similar letter.
Stay there for a second. We'll go back to that again another time. Listen, I've got to go to a few more callers on this as well. Stay there, Stephen, if you want to stay with me. The number, by the way, is 087-188-0008. We're talking about Justice Minister Halle McEntee. She said she is dropping the hate speech laws, but she's keeping the hate crime part of the law. And that is whereby somebody will get an extra part of a sentence based on the motivation for a crime. So if you assault somebody based on the fact of the colour of their skin or their sexuality or whatever it is, the membership of any particular ethnic minority, you can get a longer sentence than it would if they weren't part of any of those communities. If it's motivated, obviously, by hate. Do you believe that's fair? Some people say, well, absolutely not, because justice should be blind. It doesn't matter what somebody is. If you beat them up, you beat them up. You go to jail for 5 years or whatever it is. So let me know what you think. The number, by the way, is 087-188-0008. That's 08. All right. A lot of people, by the way, suggesting, by the way, that they don't believe the minister will actually get rid of the hate speech laws or drop the hate speech laws, that they believe that as soon as they get it re-elected. Now, Stephen is right. That's providing they get re-elected, that they'll bring that aspect of the law back again. But that's not what we're focusing on tonight. We've focused in the past on the hate speech laws. And the reason a lot of people are quite contentious is, of course, there's no definition of the word hate. Now, just to get back to what we're talking about, of course, we're talking about the part of the law that she wants to keep, which is the hate crime aspect of the law, whereby you would get extended time in jail if your crime is motivated by hate. Now, I gave an analogy earlier on as to how that exactly works. And Stephen agrees that maybe that should be part of the law, that it would discourage, as Michael said earlier on, people from committing crimes based solely on hate. Those who want to go out and do that are Chinese, as Michael gave an example of a Chinese Muslim waving a rainbow flag. That person then obviously, if, for example, they were set upon by somebody based on the fact they were Chinese, based on the fact they were gay, or based on the fact that they happened to be Muslim, that part of the crime would get an extended sentence, discouraging other people from doing things like that. Let me go, stay there, Stephen. Let me go to Bernie as well. Bernie, hi, how are you?
I'm grand, how are you, Niall?
Good. Bernie, do you believe it's necessary to extend your jail time based on the motivation of your crime, or for your crime?
What crimes are we talking about?
Well, hate crimes, obviously.
Okay, so If it warrants it, yes, I think it should be.
Mm-hmm. So if I commit a crime against a minority based on the reason, in other words, based on, you know, the fact that they're a minority, be they the colour of their skin, their ethnic,
or travellers, or any community, but yes.
That my sentencing should be longer because I did it solely for that reason.
Yes, if it was motivated by pure hatred of a certain community or a certain thing, I think it should be extended.
Okay. And then what about the fact that somebody will say to you, well, is that not a bit unfair then, say, to somebody who's attacked, but for no particular reason? And they're saying, well, then why is, you know, somebody else's life worth more than mine just because they happen to be part of an ethnic minority?
Well, I feel, just my personal opinion is that you went out of your way to take your vengeance out on a particular person because of what you perceived to be wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas a random act of injury or damage to another person is wrong, but it could have been, you know, it wasn't racially motivated, it wasn't done as a hatred, it was done randomly for no specific reason. They just went along and attacked you. He had a hammer in his hand and he went and he took the head off you. Mm. Whereas somebody who has a set against a certain minority in the country or a community, they've gone out of their way to search those people out, and they've gone out of the way to instead of dealing with it, they've just, their hatred is spilled into their anger, and their anger has been taken out in that community, minority. That's how I view it now.
And so for that reason, you believe that should be taken into consideration when it comes to time for sentencing, and that person then should get extra jail time.
Yes, but. You know, there's a difference, in my opinion, between a physical violent attack on somebody and a verbal attack. Because sticks and stones will break your bones, which we know, which is cruel. It could leave you life-changing, altered. You know, you could have a brain injury as a result of somebody's violence. Whereas words are verbal.
Mm.
And we all have been accused, I'm sure we've all had verbal abuse that has, at some stages of our lives are not, you know, and, you know, they don't, you get on. Mm-hmm. It's upsetting at that moment in time, but you move forward.
Yeah.
You know, if somebody calls you a big fat fuck, or, you know, you're a cult, you're a dub, or you're a knacker, whatever. It's hurtful at the time, but you get over that. It's just words. They leave a hurt or an indentation on your emotions, but you get over that because something else comes on in your life and you forget all about it.
Well, that was the other aspect of the law, obviously, that she wanted to bring in, which was just, you know, the hate speech aspect of the law. But she's dropped that for the time being. I don't know for how long, or maybe for permanently. I'm not too sure. It was an unpopular piece of legislation on both sides, by the way. I've heard people on the left and on the right suggest that the definition of hate not being in the law made it impractical to even try to enforce. And you are right. You know, our mothers are always told us sticks and stones will break our bones, but names will never hurt us. So that maybe shouldn't be part of the illegality of it. But you do believe that once the crime, or a physical crime, I should say, is motivated by hatred of a community, that a person should suffer more. Or the perpetrator. Yeah, should suffer more.
Yeah.
Now, the best of nighttime talk. Please don't text or call, as you will be charged.
Ireland's Classic Hits Radio.
We love Irish music here on Ireland's Classic Hits Radio, and we love the artists that make it. That's why, as part of Irish Music Month, we're putting Irish music first. Profiling, supporting, encouraging and promoting Irish artists. More song plays, more chats, more mentions and more money in Irish music creators' pockets. Over €100,000 in total. It's all about recognising the importance and value Irish music has for us all. Irish Music Month, Irish Radio supporting Irish artists, with IBI and Hot Press supported by Commission Imán Sound and Vision Scheme, funded by the television licence fee.
Gather closer, little ones. It's almost time.
Come and share in the wonderful magic of Christmas with Santa and his elves deep in the Alwi Cave. As well as a special personalised visit, Santa has arranged lots of extra surprises this year. Explore our seasonal festive woodland and visit our resident raptors. You've been to the rest, now come to the best. Alwi Burren Experience, Ballyvaughan, County Clare. Book now at alwiburrenexperience.ie.
Arthelio Joint Support is the first and only joint care supplement that targets the gut bacteria. Whatever your active lifestyle looks like, be it busy on the farm, enjoying some social dancing or getting some exercise, Arthelio Joint Support can help support you and your joints to keep you active throughout the day. Arthelio Joint Support, a simple once daily capsule taken for a recommended 3 months, available without prescription in local pharmacies, or learn more at arthelio.ie.
Tony Cascarino here to say, don't you just love it when things go your way? Jackpot. I've just found a fiver in my jacket. Jackpot. I'm still getting asked for selfies for playing in Italia 90. It's a lucky time to be in Ireland. And now you can try your luck on Ireland's newest online casino, TonyBet.com. Visit TonyBet.com. That name again is TonyBet.com.
Over 18s only. Please gamble responsibly. GamblingTherapy.org.
At Cove & Co, we don't just sell paint, we sell possibility. Transform your space with our carefully curated paint brands like Colour Trend, Farrow & Ball, Little Green, Curator and Dulux. Visit one of our 7 showrooms today for expert colour advice or coveandco.ie. Cove & Co, the paint studio.
You're listening to the best of nighttime talk. Please don't text or call, as you will be charged.
Ireland's Classic Hits Radio.
Because they've gone out of the way to search out that group.
Steve, but I'm also curious, Stephen, do you actually think it would make a difference? Because, you know, people who are that intent on harming somebody else based on their own internal hatred, do you think really think that's going to change them? That instead of, instead of getting 5 years, I might get 6, so I'm not going to do this. You know what I mean?
No, it is certainly something I was thinking about both in this discussion and previous discussions. I don't think so. If somebody is set enough in their mind to, you know, we'll say, you know, go to the Phoenix Park and threaten people that they suspect of being gay, no, I don't think it will deter them. It might deter a few, but it won't deter the vast many of them. And again, the point was made, and another example of where court sentencing can be adjusted based on is crimes of passion. A man comes home, finds his wife in bed with another man, and instead of just throwing him out, he flies into a fit of rage and kills him. He's motivated by anger and hatred of that particular person. So the sentencing is accordingly stricter because of the severity of the crime. You know, so again, we have examples of all of this in court cases.
Mind you, in those cases, you tend to get a reduction in the crime rather than an increase for a crime of passion.
A reduction in the sentencing.
A reduction in the sentencing. It's considered probably to be a mitigating circumstance, isn't it?
Yes, but then, if that then, say the man didn't kill the man in the bedroom, that he instead drove to that man's house the next day and killed him there.
That would be an even more
extenuating circumstance, and the severity is increased because, again, the intent is there. Now, again, everybody, every time we have discussions about hate, everyone's just like, well, the definition of hate isn't in the bill, and it makes it more difficult. And you and I have had this discussion several times, and I invite anybody who's contributing to it, including yourself, to define hate. Because I can give you several definitions if you want. But I open it to yourself first.
I find hate a very difficult word to define. Because, and I also feel that hate is also quite a personal thing, in a sense that...
But if I ask you to give me... the first three words that pops into your head when I say the word hate.
Bias. Bias.
Broccoli.
Bias is probably the first word that comes into my head. I'm trying to think of other words that would come into my head. I mean, generally people who are filled with hate usually have mental health problems themselves.
Possibly, not always, but possibly.
Yeah. But I think the main thing would be a bias towards individuals based on whatever it is, you know, you have a problem with, you know. So it is a natural bias. But here's the thing. You know, hate is just a feeling. It's like happiness. It's just an emotion. It's a feeling. I mean, I'm quite entitled, Stephen. I don't hate you, by the way, but I'm quite entitled to hate you. Do you know what I mean? There should be no law preventing me from hating you. There should be no law that demands that I like you or that I like a community or I like... Do you know what I mean? I'm quite entitled. As long as I don't act on it or encourage others to act on that.
Yeah. But that's what these laws are for. We're not talking about Orwellian thought, speech, and reconditioning. We're talking about, you know, the results of your actions or your words.
Mm.
You know, your feelings are your feelings.
Well, yeah, but, I mean, yeah, but we do know the laws were very vague. The minister herself couldn't even, she couldn't even define them when she was asked on numerous occasions to try and define what she was actually talking about.
Yeah, but with the greatest of respect, if she starts setting precedent, she can potentially affect the outcomes of court cases.
Hmm. Well, stay there for a second, because I want to go to Martin. Martin, hi, how are you?
Good evening, all.
Martin, okay, let's leave aside the hate speech part for the moment, because it's gone. But the hate crime aspect of the law, you know, should somebody get longer? Should somebody get longer in jail based on the reason why they perpetrate a crime?
Well, you've pretty much just hit it yourself there on what I sent in a text. I have a couple of opinions on it. First off, I think that to say that if I'm attacked simply on the basis that I have a couple of hundred euros in my wallet and I end up, you know, in hospital or paraplegic or whatever the case may be, and somebody else is attacked because someone hates them and they end up with the same degree of injury as me, that person's injuries are deemed to be more life-affecting than mine, and therefore the perpetrator should get a longer sentence, is absolutely ridiculous and in itself prejudice. Now, on top of that, again, you touched on something that I sent in a text. I do not believe that anyone who is so unbalanced, irrational, and filled with hatred, if they're told, if you act on that hatred and attack somebody, and particularly if you cause injury to them, we're going to stick another 2 years onto your sentence. If someone is prepared to risk 5 years in prison and act like a savage simply on the basis that they hate another person or group or demographic, I do not believe that anyone who would do such a thing would be in any way dissuaded from doing it by adding another 2 or 5 or 10 years to their sentence. They're mentally unbalanced. When it comes to the definition of hate, I would say it's
prejudice, bias.
The first word that would come to my mind is irrational. I can hate an action. I can hate something somebody is doing. I can even, if you wish, I could say I could hate an individual. But it's when you go and take action fueled or based on that hatred, it's now irrational, because your hatred or your action against that person, it's not going to change anything. It's not going to stop you hating them. And most likely, unless you kill them, it's not going to stop them being who or whatever they are. This whole thing is, it's all just, again, it's more, to me, it's just more, it's more smoke and mirrors on the part of Helen McEntee and a government who want to just, you know, it's whack-a-mole, you know. You hit one mole down and the other pops up, and it's to keep all of us looking at these things moving around and not looking at the real issues of things.
But is this not a real issue? Has prejudice, discrimination, hatred not become an issue in Irish society? Because there are claims that it has.
Well, of course it has. But there has always been prejudice and hatred in this country. The question is, if you act on that hatred, if you actually act on that hatred, and I was, it's the old story now, you know, when it comes to the freedom of speech, I'm an absolute advocate for freedom of speech, but I'm a realist. Anyone who shouts fire in a crowded theater and people are injured because there's no fire, but yet people are screaming and rushing to get out and people will inevitably be injured, whoever shouted fire knowing there was no fire, throw the book at them. Mm. Put them in the deepest, darkest hole possible and don't let them out. But I feel exactly the same insofar as if someone attacks me on the basis that I'm carrying money in my wallet, I want them punished to the same degree as anyone who commits a crime and causes the same injury to someone else.
Okay, let me put that to Stephen. So, Stephen, again, I put it to you that, you know, Martin is attacked for the money in his wallet. You're attacked because of your sexual orientation. Why does the person get more of a sentence based on the burden of proof, obviously, more of a sentence for the, you know, the same injury to you as the same injury to Martin? Why?
because of the motivation of it. It doesn't mean that even though we were both injured in the exact same way, that your injuries are less significant than mine or less life-altering than mine. It just means that somebody had an additional reason for attacking me that they didn't have for attacking you.
No, they just had a different reason. I'm sorry, Stephen, you're entirely wrong. You haven't answered why. You've just given an example, but you haven't answered substantially. What is the reason why, if you're attacked on the basis of your sexuality, but I'm attacked on the basis of the fact that I'm carrying money in my wallet, or I'm driving in a car and dragged out of the car, hit with a crowbar, and they steal the car. Where is the difference? You've given an example, but you haven't actually answered the question of why. The substantive question is, why is there a difference? And you haven't answered it.
And to clarify, the perpetrator in both crimes should go to jail, by the way, can we just point out?
Yeah. Absolutely. I'd bury them in the deepest, darkest hole possible.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And I'd be right in front advocating for it as much as I would for, a queer person or a Muslim or whatever it is. I'd be right in front of it. And the same with free speech. I am all for everybody having their freedom of speech. I just also want them all having the responsibilities for what happens.
Mm.
The same as I should face all the responsibilities for anything that I say, obviously. But the reason is the motivation. Somebody went out of their way to attack me because I'm gay. Whereas you were just somebody that they saw, and it was more a crime of opportunity. It could be a crime of opportunity for me too. And if there was an additional thing of they found out that I was gay and intensified the beatings or the robbery or whatever it is, I'm just trying to elaborate as to why a hate crime is a hate crime compared to a crime.
You're just saying motivation. The motivation, if someone sees that I'm carrying, or not that I would very, very, very seldom have a couple of €100 in my wallet, but if someone sees me, paying
at
for something.
An ATM machine.
And they see that I have that money, right? The fact that their motivation is different, how does that change the outcome for me as the victim? This is the issue here, and you still haven't answered it.
Well,
what you're doing is, again, you're giving examples, but you're not answering. You're not answering the substantive question as to why is the crime committed against you more grievous than the crime committed against me, when the outcome for both of us is the same. Where is the difference?
Okay.
You haven't answered the question.
Classic Hits at Work.
How are you? It's Trina. Here's one for you. If the workman working in your house was going for a smoke break all day long, would you say it or keep your mouth shut?
I'd leave it. I really would. I'd just leave it.
My advice, keep strum. Say nothing. Otherwise, I'll just walk off the job.
I'll take the kettle out of the kitchen, because you know yourself. With no kettle, there's no smokes and there's no breaks. And that's builders for you, Trina. Love the show.
You've had your say. I'll chat to you weekday mornings from 10 till 2.
With the Tile Hub, discover the perfect blend of style, quality and convenience with our expert bathroom renovations. thetilehub.ie.
Ireland's Classic Hits Radio.
We're getting into the Halloween spirit at Woodies with spectacular savings for your haunted homes and gardens. Get monster savings on all Halloween decorations and lights, now half price. But hurry, get them before they get you. Shop in store, online or click and collect. Woodies, we're all homemakers. T's and C's and exclusions apply.
We can think of any number of reasons to go to Kildare Village, like over 100 amazing brands, bags of spectacular savings, full of fashion, boundless beauty, heaps of homewares, stellar style. More? How about superb food, free parking, and just a really great day out? Kildare Village, for any number of reasons.
Arthelio Joint Support is the first and only joint care supplement that targets the gut bacteria. Whatever your active lifestyle looks like, be it busy on the farm, enjoying some social dancing or getting some exercise, Arthelio Joint Support can help support you and your joints to keep you active throughout the day. Arthelio Joint Support, a simple once daily capsule taken for a recommended 3 months, available without prescription in local pharmacies, or learn more at arthelio.ie.
Are you looking for a fresh start in your Leaving Cert journey? Look no further than Ashfield College, Ireland's leading fifth year and Leaving Cert school. At Ashfield College, we offer the best student experience in Dublin, with small class sizes, personalised attention and a commitment to academic excellence. We help our students achieve their goals, and our vibrant student community ensures that you'll make lifelong friends and unforgettable memories. Ashfield College, serious about the Leaving Certificate. Visit ashfieldcollege.ie today.
Are you looking for a new job in 2024? Recruit.ie is Ireland's new online jobs board, dedicated to getting you the job you want at the pay you deserve. Search thousands of jobs in companies nationwide, upload your CV, and find your dream job today, all free of charge. Find a job you love at recruit.ie.
This is the home of Ruth Scott at Night, Monday to Thursday from 7, and the home of the 80s and 90s all day. Ireland's Classic Hits Radio. It's almost 8 o'clock.
Get a stamp anytime, anywhere, and send worldwide with a digital stamp available on the OnPost app. OnPost, for your world.
Across Ireland.
Across Ireland.
On FM.
Digital.
And on your smart speaker.
This is the home of the 80s and 90s.
This is Ireland's Classic Hits Radio.
At 8, good morning, I'm Tina Gates. A teenage boy remains in a serious condition in hospital this morning after two teenagers were killed in a crash between a tractor and car in County Mayo on Friday night. The driver of the tractor, a man in his 50s, received non-life-threatening injuries. Local councillor Al McGallagher says it's terrible to see such a tragic loss of life.
We woke yesterday morning to the tragic news that two young lives have been lost on our roads in Laverarow. Two young men who were so well known and much loved in our community, with such bright futures ahead of them, and to have their lives cut short in such tragic circumstances is absolutely devastating.
The RSA is warning drivers to take extreme care on roads today and tomorrow as Met Éireann issues orange and yellow weather warnings. An orange rain alert for Cork and Waterford continues until 6 this evening, with Carlow, Kilkenny and Wexford under the warning from 1 o'clock until midnight. The yellow rain and wind warning for Munster is currently in effect until 8 tonight. Carlow, Dublin, Kildare, Kilkenny, Laois, Wexford and Wicklow have a yellow rain warning from noon today until 2 a.m. on Monday. David Martin from the RSA says it's very important to slow down in bad conditions.
Check local traffic and weather conditions before they head out on a journey. With the localised flooding, if the road ahead is flooded, just choose another route. Don't attempt to drive through it. Turn the roads off. That may appear shallow, but they could be a lot deeper than you think. Slow down. Allow a greater break in distance between yourselves and the vehicle in front. Especially important on dual carriageways.
Sinn Féin's promising to deliver the largest housing programme in the history of the state. If in power, party leader Mary Lou MacDonald says they'd build 300,000 homes, 50,000 of them affordable at prices from €250,000. Addressing last night's Ardeshan at Loan, she made digs at the government over homelessness, the cost of housing and the bike share controversy.
A record number of people homeless. 4,419 of those are children. Shameful. Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael don't get that €500,000 for a home just isn't affordable. But let's face it, folks, when they're building a bicycle shed for €300,000, they're hardly building